At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating US Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Right, let's crack on this week. We're talking about... Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 9th and the 12th of September 2024. Hiya, how are you this week? Are you well? Joining me, as usual, is Ree. Hello, Ree. How are you this week?
I'm good, thank you. Rob, how are you?
I'm all right. So,
A bit disappointed, yeah. Are we?
Let's get this elephant in the room out of the way. Yeah, so The NTAs, all right. Obviously,
it's a fix. I'm joking.
We'd love to say it's not actually. It's definitely not a fix. We would love to say it's a fix, but unfortunately, it's not. EastEnders didn't win anything at the NTAs this year. And let's be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure why, because it's not like they've had a bad year. Do you know what I think? Is that EastEnders last year had a phenomenal year, and the rest of the soaps had a pretty down year. And I think the rest of the soaps have sort of upped their game a little bit this year.
Because of EastEnders,
you know. So if anything, they should be saying, we dedicate this award to EastEnders.
Well, I know that Emmerdale won, and I don't really watch Emmerdale.
I can't comment fairly, to be honest. No. I know that they've been doing quite an intense domestic violence storyline, That's sort of been going on. Yeah. They've been doing stuff like that. Corrie won best dramatic performance, best in a serial drama for Peter Ash, which we can't take away from him. He's been phenomenal in that storyline.
They've been doing
a motor neuron disease in storyline in that, and his character's recently died. So they basically
this is an EastEnders podcast, Rob. Yeah. Stop giving him even more credit.
I'm not giving him credit because trust me, right? Okay, Soap Awards are next. And because of that, for the Soap Awards, we ride at dawn. You hearing me? You listen to me. We vote like crazy for the Soap Awards this year.
Vote.
We'll get them back where they belong with some awards. Yes. But this week, I think we've had a fun old week, haven't we? We have the return of Chrissy. And not just Chrissy, it turned out. A little extra... like secret surprise return at the end of the week.
Kept secret, at least. This is what we're talking about.
We like surprises. See, but then we were talking about surprise returns and how like there's no surprises anymore. We completely forgot about Jane. That was a surprise that we weren't expecting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was true. Yeah, that is true, actually.
I mean,
But with Jake, I was thinking it won't have been that difficult to hide him, really, because he looked completely different at first. I didn't recognise him.
No, I didn't recognise him either.
Is that?
He's grown a beard.
It's Jake.
Grown a beard and everything. Yeah. So that was fun. So we'll talk about the Chrissy stuff and the Jake stuff and everything that went on in basically Bad Girls EastEnders style later on in the podcast. A few little things to discuss first. So let's crack on with this week's Albert Square After Dark. So let's start with talking about the events in the Vic this week. I want to say the biggest shocker of the entire week was Linda telling Elaine. I was stunned when she did that. My jaw hit the floor.
And it happened in one scene and we didn't really see a great deal of it.
It was just casually just like, oh, I killed Keanu, by the way. It's not like...
Well, I was kind of expecting it after she's confessed to Bernie because you would think that news was going to get out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And she's been to the police as well. What if the police turn up and be like, oh, just come because, you know, our Linda confessed to murdering Keanu last week.
She does have to sort of start addressing this, really, doesn't she? Well, I mean, I don't know how this is all going to play out from here on in. I'm not sure whether this is just going to start to slowly fade away, the six stuff, because Dean's been given 9 years for the rape of Linda. So that's all been sort of dealt with. And I wonder, it basically sounds now like it all rests on whether Bernie goes to the police or not. Bernie's currently in Germany seeing Keegan. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if when Bernie returns, they're just going to have scenes of her not telling and then the six storylines basically over.
This is it. Sure, because she would go to the police, though. Yeah. I don't understand it myself.
It feels odd. I feel like there must be more to come with it, or surely.
Like, because Bernie's got to tell somebody as well. Yeah. She can't keep all this to herself. Is she going to tell Keegan? And what's Keegan going to say? Oh, well, don't tell the police, Bernie, because I know those six women and they're all really nice, aren't they?
They were quite nice. Yeah.
It doesn't matter about our brother being killed.
Linda gave me a free pint once. Come on. Yeah, like, let's be reasonable about this. I don't know. We'll see what happens when Bernie gets back from Germany. But Elaine, predictably, does not deal with this confession particularly well. To say the least. She finds it quite difficult. I thought actually there was some really good stuff with Linda and Elaine this week. I thought there was quite... It built up to a really nice moment, like towards the end of the week. Well, not towards the end of the week, but like sort of at the end of this little storyline. But needless to say, Elaine having to deal with this base information that Linda has killed somebody kind of spills through into what's going on with the Kojo stuff. Because Kojo sort of lashes out again this week at Johnny. And Johnny's all sort of like, that's cool, that's fine, it happens. But Elaine basically says to George, well, he's got to go. This isn't working, is it? This really is not working. And Kojo overhears, basically runs away and spends the night in a public loo around the corner. I don't think we've seen these loos before, by the way. And I'm always up for a new bit of set, and I don't think we've seen these loos before. I can't remember the last time we saw them. I mean, that's quite a scary thing to spend a night in a public loo in London. That sounds quite terrifying, to be honest.
Well, that's what Gina said later on in the week. Like, it must have been bad if you wanted to stay in some toilets rather than set you upstairs.
And Bobby says around at one point, it says, even I don't go in there.
Yeah.
Big brave Bobby.
Yeah.
So they're all frantic because Kojo's gone missing, and they have to obviously report it to the police. George and Elaine are sort of at loggerheads because George is blaming Elaine. Elaine's trying to just deal with everything that's going on in her head. Junior eventually comes across Kojo, and I thought some nice stuff with Junior and Kojo this week. I'm sort of liking that little relationship starting off, because Junior's got a nice car, and we know that Kojo loves a car, so Kojo is basically entertained and like presses the window washers and gets Junior wet, and he's having a great time, so he's quite happy. Briefly, I just want to briefly touch on the Junior and Cindy stuff that kind of is always going on in the background. I'm really curious as to like what exactly is pushing Junior to do this? Because I feel like a lot of it is punishing George.
I think it started off as that, but now I think feelings are involved.
I think there's like definitely the feelings. Setup. Yeah. I feel like there's definitely feelings.
This is what's going to happen, isn't it? Is actually George and Junior are going to really make amends and really start getting on.
Yes.
And then
And then it's going to come out just as they're starting a relationship up properly. Yeah.
But actually, the reason they're going to be getting along is because Cindy's going to be in Junior's ear saying, come on, give your dad a chance, and helping him understand his dad better.
Yeah.
Because she knows both, like father, like son, doesn't she?
She does. I mean, I'm just really looking forward to that conversation between George and Junior when this all comes out. Like, sort of talking about Junior's motives for doing it. Because at any point, he could say to Cindy, look, I'm not comfortable with this. This is just weird, all right? Yes, I like you. Yes, we've had a great time. But at the same time, that's my dad and you're his ex. Yeah. You were basically
and
my
you're
stepmom
the mother
at some
to my
point.
Two sisters.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. We could maybe step away from this. But, you know, at face value, Junior is just like a Lothario and is just wanting to basically shag anything that moves. But at the same time, I feel like there's a slightly, like, sort of, there's another undercurrent to the whole thing. It's interesting.
I agree. I also want to know what's happened with Junior's mum, because remember, he had that scene where he went to see her and then they'd had a falling out. So
yeah.
Is everything not always okay with his mum then?
Yeah, and they also had that conversation between Junior and Lauren, where he was basically saying, I don't like people getting too close, you know, getting to know me that well. True. So there's the stuff that we still need to sort of unpack about Junior. It's interesting.
Maybe that's a trust issue because of his dad growing up, you know, if you want to psychoanalyze that.
If you want to bring Freud into the conversation, might be about
it. Well, actually, he's with his stepmom, so, you know.
Reed knows all about Freud and Freudian theory.
I do, actually.
Yeah, so that's sort of there in the back because Junior is basically sort of slightly put out by how much effort George is making with Kojo, and he's sort of like, well, where was this effort with me and you? So I feel that's why I feel like there's also an addition and there's an element of punishment to the whole thing as well.
That is how it started, and yeah, I don't know, it's hard to see though because we've not seen that much actually of George and Junior. Not especially recently.
Not huge amounts,
He does seem to be softening a bit towards his dad.
Yeah.
But is he trying to punish him? Is that what it's still about? It's not just that. They love the chase, don't they? And the secret, the secret of it all.
Yeah,
I think
it's a bit of a double-edged sword for them, I think. I think you're right, though. Ultimately, this is going to go into George and Junior becoming closer so that when the moment and the revelations happen, it's all the more explosive. That's where it's going to go. But yeah, I am so excited for that revolution because it's going to be huge because
it's
so many.
It's got to be Christmas.
It's got to be Christmas, I think. Like, 100%. It's all going to come out. They're all the Beals and all the Knights are going to be around the Christmas table and then it's somehow going to come out and it's going to be huge and a turkey will be thrown. I cannot wait.
I hope so. That'd be good.
Why wouldn't you throw a turkey in that scenario? You know, it's going to be fascinating. Elaine throwing it at Cindy's head. It lands on her head like something out of Mr. Bean. It's going to be marvellous. Right. So, the Kojo stuff kind of like, so George and Kojo talk because Kojo is sort of like, well, if Elaine doesn't want me here, I want to go home. And then sort of really gets fixated on going home. And George and Kojo start talking about their mum. And George obviously has no memories apart from the tape recording that Ollie destroyed. So Elaine is overhearing this and thinks, like, there's a way I can make amends here. Takes a tape, puts it between her boobs because everything that Elaine owns goes down the top. You know, half a garage comes out. It's marvelous.
You don't have many pockets on women's clothing, though, to be fair.
Is that a thing?
There's nowhere else to put things.
Do you not have pockets?
No, Rob. It's so rare for women's clothing to have pockets.
Is it?
Genuinely. Did you not know this?
But you've got more stuff than we have. So, sure, that makes no sense. Yeah. Whose idea was that?
Because, Rob, they want the women to buy the bags.
Buy the bags. Yes.
This is what it's all about. No, women genuinely don't have that many pockets on clothes.
That seems ridiculous to me.
This is why Elaine's using a bra.
This shirt I've got on now has pockets. I'm not even carrying anything at the moment.
Do you know what? Actually, I have got a pair of trousers on that have got pockets in. It's so rare. And I'm like, oh my God, I've got pockets. It's such a good day.
When you've got Elaine, that shows you where you need to put everything. Just put it down your bra. It'd be fine. Elaine takes this tape to, and I quote, a geek she's met on the high street. I this could be anybody, but basically gets the recording put on a memory stick so that the recording is saved. The recording of George's mum singing is saved, and him and Kojo have this nice moment of listening to the mum singing. Mm-hmm. And George basically forgives everything. Kojo agrees to stay, and all is well. Which sort of pushes Elaine now to deal with the immediate issue of her family. And it's been so interesting watching this week because Elaine has really struggled with the elements of comforting Linda. There was a couple of sort of sad moments where Linda was basically just trying to reach out to her and Elaine was like, I've got to go, bye, just sort of walks out the room. Until we get the moment at the end of this little story where Elaine and Linda are sort of in bed together and they're talking and they're actually having a really honest, heartfelt conversation. And they sort of saying that Elaine always felt a little bit outside of the relationship between Linda and her dad. Like Linda was the one that Linda always turned to her dad for like bedtime stories and everything. And Elaine, and Elaine was never really sort of that motherly with her. So it's sort of interesting to explore that.
Which is an unusual dynamic of the time that would have been as well, really. But I don't know, there's something about Elaine. We're getting a lot of slap the makeup on and pretend everything's all right. And drinks on the house.
Yeah.
Like this front, when are we going to get to the bottom of the mess?
I think this is the start of it, I think, isn't it? Yeah, this is what I really like with Elaine. Is that, because so many people like criticise Elaine, saying that she's like not a good person. But this is what you want out of a character. This is, yeah. these are deliberate layers they're putting
it
into.
It took
Elaine.
Me a while to click with Elaine there and realize that it was actually all deliberate.
It's got to be, yeah.
There's got to be something. I want to know what it is with Elaine there. Like, is it something to do with how she was brought up? Like,
yeah, I think there's like maybe elements of that.
Probably of her time, it would have been her mum probably said to her, slap some makeup on and pretend everything's all right.
Yeah, this is the barmaid. This is the London East End barmaid way, isn't it? She's from the same school of Knox as Peggy would have been. Like you put your makeup on, ignore all your emotional issues, and go out onto stage effectively and sort
perform.
Of entertain, entertain the punters, and out a few drinks on the ass, and everything's fine. Yeah. You're basically the woman of the hour without having to deal with all the hard emotional stuff going on at home. And Elaine, arguably, didn't really have that, from what we know, didn't have that much to deal with, apart from the fact, you know, Linda obviously had the bulimia. She struggled with that, but apparently...
Is that going to rear its head again, by the way?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that was just more mentioned just to sort of bring up the difficulties that the two of them have had in emotionally connecting over the years. And it sort of ends with Elaine sort of hugging her and saying, it's all right, you're my girl, I'm here. So we'll sort of see how that plays out. But I really want to sort of see more of their sort of roller coaster relationship, because obviously without Mick now, this is going to be sort of the emotional relationship in Linda's life. So I really want to sort of see that play out over the next few years, really. It's going to be interesting.
Did you think it were...
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Bit harsh when Linda like confessed and then Elaine and then said, oh, I'm gonna make you Annie and Ollie's legal guardians. And
well,
Elaine,
I thought it was
like, what? No,
yeah, she wasn't interested in that, including when she turned around and was just like, what, even the autistic one effectively was what she was saying
as well.
Struggle with that. It's just like, what do you expect, Elaine? Like, this is your grandkids now. Obviously, I think it's more the fact that you expect, you know, it's one thing to sort of look like take care of your kids if you've, you know, sadly died or something, but the fact that you've gone to prison for murder and I'm just being left to pick up the pieces from that is maybe where her head was at. I don't know, but it's...
I just thought, regardless, like, the grandkids, it's not like she didn't know him. They live with her already. It just I don't know. I thought, I was like, at first I was like, that is super harsh and I can't get past this, Elaine. And then I also thought, oh, you have just found out your daughter murdered someone downstairs with a meat thermometer. So maybe you're just trying to let
it was interesting. Elaine putting all the little pieces together about the meat thermometer. Oh, so that's why you went a bit crazy at Easter. Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
And you then, Johnny.
Yes, you
like,
knew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I nearly chucked you out.
Happy with him?
No. Mm. Yeah. Interesting. I like this dynamic between Linda and Elaine, and the Johnny element is interesting as well.
Is Elaine going to tell George then, or is she thinking it's going to put too much extra pressure on George with what he's got going on with Kojo and everything else?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I feel like the two are going to be kept quite separate at this stage. I feel like, she might mention it to George at some point, but I feel like that'll be much further down the line when it becomes sort of irrelevant, really. Like, I think George will inevitably find out at some point, but I can't see really how George's knowledge of it will really influence the storyline or anything.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it would be weird for George to find out before Eve does. Let's be fair here.
Because
Eve should be much higher up the list of people that find out. Chrissy knows what's gone on before Eve does. That's just weird.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
There we go. So we'll see how that all plays out. Right, on to the next storyline. And this is Anna, Freddie and Bobby. So Anna is up the duff-duff, isn't she? It's one of the best EastEnders jokes you could possibly do, that one, I tell you. Can I just say, I cannot imagine Bobby doing that. It's bless him.
Making a baby?
Making the Mr. Lover lover. I can't see it really. It's just an odd... I mean, obviously, they do, because they're in a relationship. But, you know, some people, you just can't imagine doing it. And Bobby is one of those people, bless him. I just can't.
Maybe you don't need to imagine it.
Maybe I don't need to.
Maybe you've overthought
this. Maybe I don't.
This.
Maybe I should stop just sitting there imagining fictional characters having sex.
Maybe
that's what
I should
do.
Maybe you should just accept that he has done it.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. basically, this week is all about Anna and Freddie and them fighting their feelings for one another. Yeah. I mean, I'm struggling. Whose side are you on with this? Like, is this... I feel sorry for Bobby, because this is all going to be, like, this is all going to go really, really badly for Bobby. But Anna and Freddie, I mean, I guess they're fighting their feelings. Freddie is really struggling with this internally, like, because obviously Bobby's his best mate. He's struggling with that. So...
I'm on Freddie's side out of everyone, to be honest.
Okay.
He's not acted on it. He's been trying to avoid Anna. Feels really bad, but clearly he loves her. So, and he was, what would you call it? Fantasize? No, maybe not fantasizing.
Well,
you were, when he were away, you were doing all the drawings. He clearly was thinking about her a lot, but he didn't know that she was with Bobby during all that time until he got back.
Isn't the first time we've seen his doodlings of Anna, is it?
No.
They're very good, to be fair. He's a very good artist, isn't he? He's very, very good artist. I don't know who's done them. Whoever's been doing those drawings in the prop department, fair play, because they're really, really good. But this is basically... Anna has kind of got the impression that Freddie is ignoring her and is trying to avoid her. And she's sort of like, well, what have I done? Because obviously Anna has feelings for him too, we are sort of discovering. And... Gina, the problem is Gina. I'm not entirely on Gina's side with any of this because she's basically encouraging this, and it's not great, really, is it? Because Anna, I think Anna does have feelings for Bobby, but they're not as intense as the feelings for Freddie. And I feel like Gina is pushing Anna into doing the wrong thing with this.
She should be pushing her to say, "Is it everything's not okay with you and Bobby?" Rather than go and jump on Freddie. Yeah. That's what she should be doing. But instead it's like, oh, go and find out what's happening with Freddie instead of like, maybe sort out the relationship that you're in first.
Yeah, because...
And then decide if you want to act on them.
Yeah, because they're supposed to have Freddie, Gina, Bobby and Anna are supposed to like be going to Orford East for like a group dinner, because that's the only way Freddie will do it. Because like, if there's four people there, that's fine. That won't feel weird. But Bobby is busy stuck at Beale's Eels, and Gina literally says, no, you're all right, thanks, you two have fun. So they're left, like, just sat there awkwardly with one another, with Priya making awkward conversation with them.
Brilliant scenes. Love Priya.
You're not going to give me a tip? I love her. And Gina's sort of annoyed by that, storms over to Freddie, and then discovers the drawings in the book. And Freddie's sort of forced to confess, yes, I do have feelings for her, but can you not tell her, please? Because that would make things really, really awkward. Can you not? And Gina's like, no, I promise I won't. Then sprints across the square to tell Anna absolutely everything.
Anna, guess what?
Meanwhile, Anna's been getting a few little dizzy spells.
Did you get dizzy spells?
This seems to be quite a soapy thing when someone's about to discover they're pregnant. Did you get dizzy spells? Like, is this a thing? I know it's a thing, but like, it's not.
No, but I also didn't get one bout of morning sickness, so I'm probably.
Did you not?
No, I didn't throw up once when I was pregnant.
Wow.
Not once. I know.
That's mad. That seems like the thing that you do, if anything. Even if you have the most easiest pregnancy in the world, you have to be throw up at some point.
I didn't throw up once.
That's mad.
I got bouts of evening sickness.
Oh.
So I had nausea in an evening.
But I didn't actually get throwing up.
No, didn't actually.
You know what that is? That is years and years of training with me and you drinking madly in bars and you being able to say, no, I can hold it. It's fine.
Like, genuinely, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't
probably
know.
Is. I trained you well for your pregnancy. Then, you're welcome.
But now I'm... Yeah, thanks, Rob. Thanks for that.
Yes, mate. That's all right, mate.
Saying
no
that, though, when I think about the evening nausea I had, you did... It weren't so much dizziness, but you were a bit like, something's not right. So
And if you don't know what's actually happening, because maybe I think you sort of deal with it better because I'm pregnant, so I'm going to feel weird. But then if you don't know you're pregnant, maybe that comes across as like, oh my God, I feel weird. That's like, so maybe it's more that sort of thing. Mm. Did you get cravings?
Yes.
What did you crave?
I craved pickled onion monster munch in the first trimester. I loved it.
The worst.
And
did you like them before?
No, not really. Weren't that fussed. And mature cheese salad sandwiches. I never used to like mature cheese. And then for some reason, I didn't. Oh, cloudy lemonade, spicy scrambled eggs.
Just a list of different foods, basically.
Well, not many. This one. I was talking about it the other day, actually. That's why I'm like reeling it off.
My auntie used to eat coal.
Oh, she was iron deficient.
Yeah, Yeah, just to like eat little pieces of coal, which I thought was the weirdest thing. Which I thought was the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. But apparently, it's a thing. Yeah. It's a thing. Yeah. So I didn't know that. Anyway, Anna's sort of like starting to feel a bit weird. Freddie and Anna are sort of awkwardly going together. At the same time, Bobby and Freddie have a bit of a falling out because Bobby's sort of what are you avoiding Anna for? And maybe I should get a better friend then. Except my girlfriend, like probably being a lad about it. It's like, all right, Bobby.
Calm down, Bobby.
And they sort of like go their separate ways and Freddie's feeling awful. Meanwhile, Gina and Anna do a pregnancy test and it turns out that she's very much pregnant. So what is going to happen with this? How is this going to play out? What's going to happen?
Well, we've already been seeing Anna having doubts about her and Bobby. We know, spoiler alert, Nino, Bobby's leaving.
Yes, so this is the start of Bobby's exit storyline, isn't it?
For me, it's either going to be a miscarriage or abortion. And I'd quite like to see an abortion storyline.
Well, I reckon Cindy's going to get involved with this. And she's not going to want Anna to give birth to Bobby's baby. So I reckon she wouldn't do that, would she? She's far too angelic. Of course she would.
No, I don't believe that. What do you think she's going to do? Make her lose?
No, but I think she's going to... No. I think she's going to encourage Anna to have an abortion.
Oh, I see. Right.
What will happen is that Gina and Cindy will talk and Cindy will see a way. Oh, so Freddie's the one you're after. Oh, well, in which case then I'd get rid of that baby if I were you, because that's the only way that's going to work. So I think she'll encourage Anna to have the abortion because she doesn't want any, because in an ideal world, Bobby wouldn't be a part of her life. So I think that if she can get rid of Bobby this way, that'll work perfectly for her, you know,
rather than know he's there forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that Anna will make up her own mind, though. I'd like to see it be Anna's decision if she does go down the abortion route, because we know about how things are in America and stuff. I'd like to see it from, this is the woman's
choice.
She's wanted to do this. That's okay, because it is okay. You know what I mean? So I'd actually really like to see that. Perhaps Bobby's hurt by it. I could imagine Bobby wanting to keep it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. When Bobby finds out, he will be like, right, okay, well, that's fine. Yeah. I work at Beals Eels and I will just do lots and lots of hours. Mm-hmm. We've got this. You sit and relax. Everything will be fine. I'll go and walk all the hours God sends and we'll be absolutely fine. Yeah. He will throw himself into this
head
off.
He'll propose. Bobby,
absolutely. Yeah. Poor Bobby. Poor Bobby. Mm. I really feel for him. This is going to be awful.
I don't know that Anna will tell, or Gina will tell Cindy. I think it's going to be a little sister thing that they keep under wraps between each other. Perhaps Gina will help Anna go get the abortion and she won't ever tell Bobby about it because she knows that Bobby would want to keep it.
Yeah.
Then Bobby finds out, and then he finds out about the Freddie thing, and then that's when it all goes. Yeah, maybe.
Tits up. Yeah,
But we don't think she's keeping it either way.
This is a weird. We've not even considered the option that she might just keep the baby. I don't know. Well, it feels weird to keep it and then to lose Bobby, you know, because where's the story there exactly? Yeah. Other than the fact that it gives Bobby a reason to come back. But I don't think it kind of seems obvious that if Bobby's going, then this baby isn't going to be a thing. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be hard for Bobby, I think, and that's going to be hard for me because I love Bobby, so I don't like seeing Bobby upset, so that's going to be rough.
What we did have, though, was a little mention of the spiking again, which has not been brought up since it happened, really.
Right.
She said that's why she might have forgotten to take a pill. I'm just saying, we've not heard anything. We had all that big spiking storyline and nothing really happened with it.
Yeah, I think that's more... Yeah, it's the whole spiking thing was weird. I think it's just more to do... I think this is supposed to be an evidence of how Bobby is just sort of so dedicated to Anna that he's kind of going to throw himself into absolutely anything. And like, you know, this is why he's going to feel like he has to be by her side throughout the whole thing. You know, because that brief time when he wasn't there for the spiking thing, knowing the way Bobby's mind works, that will be enough. So, well, because I wasn't here, that means terrible things happen, because that's kind of how Bobby's head works. So,
I think
that's going to make things trickier for him as well. So, sad. But I honestly, I think Cindy's going to be involved somewhere along the way. I really do.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Right, ladies and gents, on to the big storyline of the week. It's Prisoner. E20H. So, Sharon's week inside begins. There is... There are many elements to this. Like, it was a fun old blast this week with the whole Chrissy stuff, but there's so many elements to it that I'm just like, is that a thing? I mean, I did wonder whether it was going to be addressed that maybe this does happen, but I can't see it happening, that a woman who tells the judge to shut his mouth gets put on the same wing as a murderer. Is that a thing? Does that happen?
We said this last week, but it is what it is. I mean, the fact that she went to jail for what she said and the whole court case itself.
That judge was a dick, that's why.
Let's just take it as... They didn't want Shannon to go behind bars for too long. They wanted a week in jail.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't care because it was fun. And it's one of those storylines where you just yeah, all right, whatever.
How I felt all week, really, because I was like, was there any need to bring Chrissy back if she's just back for this week? What was the point? But it was a bit of fun.
It was a bit of fun. But then I also was quite amazed by some of the parallels that they actually managed to get out of the Chrissy stuff. Yeah, because I didn't see that at all. We'll discuss this. So Sharon's weak inside and she's got a new cellmate. Can we briefly discuss door? All right. I love door. Doesn't answer the window, only door. And I'm obsessed with her. I love her. I want her as a regular character.
I saw somebody online though be like, why are we in this like Dickensian, you know, film all of a sudden? And I was like, I could not stop thinking of Oliver. And she was like, Rest the size of Mark Adam. More points, sir.
I love her.
I did keep thinking that.
She's so eccentric. Yeah, I know. Yeah, she just, every time she left the cell, she's like, any old iron. I love her.
You got to pick a pocket or two.
Or two. She's so eccentric. And what I really, really want is, because her and Sharon got quite close by the end of the week. Yeah. And what I really, really, really want is for Dawe to go and visit Sharon on Walford. There's so much potential there for a character like Dawe.
I did think this, or is it like, if somebody else next goes to jail, Sharon will be like, just find Dawe. She'll sort you out.
Yeah. But imagine Dawe comes to visit Sharon on the square. And then starts working at the laundrette, because we've noticed that she's got a proclivity for working in laundrette. Her and Yolandi would be a snout. I haven't heard it called that in years. A snout for a cigarette.
Yeah, since Dickensian times.
I know, it's Dickensian, that's why. she probably thinks it's good for you. She's like Victorian. Yeah. It's like, oh no, this is what everyone does, isn't it? This is good, this keeps me alive. Imagine her and Yolandi having to work together. That'd be hilarious. Like, those two would, like, bounce off each other really quite. And I also really want to see her kind of coming in and she meets Phil. And what we get from there is, like, this really reluctant sort of motherly relationship between Phil and the end.
It all works out, aren't you?
Oh, I think she'd be great. I think there's a massive place for Dawe on the square. I really do. Bring her in full time.
I wanted to know what she was in there for, and we didn't find out. So maybe that's why.
She was innocent. Leave the door open for Dawe. There we go. The door is wide open for Dawe, let me tell you. But Dawe basically discovers that Sharon's name is Watts and sort of goes, oh, well, that's interesting, and sort of wanders next door to Chrissy's cell. And it's like, someone in the cell you might know. And then the two of them come face to face. And it was really, really interesting because I did not see the parallels between this story with Sharon and the way the whole Den story played out with Chrissy. The parallels there were ridiculous.
Why did we not see it sooner?
They don't just throw this shit together, Ree, let me tell you.
It's like they thought it all through or something.
When did that start happening? Like, they think these things through. What's going on?
I
thought it was genius. I really, really did. I was amazed. Yeah. Like, of course, they are so similar because of this. Like, the way that everything played out with Zoe was exactly the way it played out with Linda and Sharon. It was so, so, like, clever the way they managed to parallel it.
Well, should we explain it for anybody who...
Exactly.
May not have watched. No, but I mean, shall we explain it? Go for it.
Yeah, go on then, Ree.
So Chrissy was in a fight with Den. Well, not in a fight. Den attacked Chrissy. He was bashing her head against a jukebox.
So violent, that scene, isn't
really
it?
I didn't remember how violent it was. I don't think
they'd get away with that now, in all honesty. I think it was quite violent the way that played out. Carry on.
And then Sam and Zoe were witnessing it, and Zoe hits Den over the head with something, and it looks like...
The bust, yeah.
Oh, and they all think, I don't think it was the bust.
It wasn't the bust. It was Pauline's doorstop, I think, actually. I don't know why it was in there. I can't remember why it was in the vape, but it was Pauline's
doorstop. Remember it being as big. So anyway,
yeah, no, it was Pauline's doorstop. Zoe hits him over the head. Yes.
He appears to be dead.
Yes.
And Chrissy walks off saying something to him while she thinks he's dead on the floor. And then Den reaches his hand out and grabs her leg. And
you'll never
Chrissy
have the
really finishes him off. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Then Chrissy hits him, then kills him. Sam Mitchell's witness to all this. So she knows that actually Chrissy killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But Chrissy lets them think that it was Zoe still. So Zoe, bless her, is fretting. Mm-hmm. And then they bury Den under the cellar floor of the convict.
Yeah.
There are quite a few parallels in there. Obviously, some different situations as well, but
it does. Similar. Can I just say, it does briefly make you think, why didn't they just bury Keanu under the vic? I mean, I get it. Oh, actually, no.
Why did
actually,
they do it under the vic back then? Was there a reason? Were it being dug up already or something?
I just think it's just for convenience sake. And actually, thinking about it now, I have
Brother
a feeling. Yeah, exactly. And actually, I have a feeling now I think about it, there's a reason they didn't bury Keanu under the vic, because I think they were going to, and Sharon was like, no, I can't
been
put in there. No, been there. No, thank you. I can't have another person that I love in there. Thank you very much. No. So that's why he ended up in the cab.
Yeah.
But just the way it played out was sort of like, wow, the parallels there are ridiculous. And it's really interesting, this whole thing with Sharon and Chrissy, because they were quite good friends at one point. Mm. And just the way that they managed, because one of the things that you don't realize about Sharon is the fact that yes, she obviously hates Chrissy for killing her dad, her adopted dad, but also what Chrissy is somebody that makes Sharon like have to confront the fact that Dem was a bad person, and it doesn't go with the memories that she likes to kind of think about with Den. It's like, no, Chrissy is there as an example of what a bad person he actually was, and she's never comfortable with confronting that head on. For those two to be sort of thrust into the situation together with these parallels, and for Sharon to actually realise, I can kind of see how your life played out. We handled it differently, but actually the situation wasn't that far apart. I thought was really, really clever the way they managed to do that. Fair play.
I mean, you know, the first chat they had?
Yeah.
I was like, it all felt really genuine from Chrissy to me, but Sharon was the one who weren't believing any of it. I wasn't sure how the week were going to go, though, because I was like, well, obviously, you've not just brought them in to get along with each other. Something's got to be going on. But I couldn't quite figure out how it was going to go.
Well, then come the revelations, because as it turns out, Chrissy was pregnant when Sharon smacked her one in Stansted Airport. And obviously, Chrissy was about to run off with Jake at the time. And as far as Chrissy was concerned, at that moment, Jake and baby Jake were just going to go off.
Jake Jr.
were about to go. I mean, that was another thing, wasn't it? Like Jake Jr., Dennis Jr. Like they just kept throwing these parallels around.
Oh, yeah.
And so Chrissy was sort of all ready to start this new life and started running away. And because of Sharon grassing her up, that was all pulled away. And then she lost the baby. So there's a lot.
It was all Sharon's fault.
It was all Sharon's fault. No, it was all Sharon's fault.
She would have got away with it if it wasn't for Sharon.
If it wasn't for that meddling Sharon, she'd have got away with it.
Exactly.
So you can kind of sort of, I mean, obviously it's completely warped logic that it's Sharon's fault at all. But as far as Chrissy's concerned, she needs someone to blame, because Chrissy has never been the sort of person who's going to blame herself for anything.
Accountable.
Yes. So this sort of sets a war off between the two of them. She sets two of her... The fact that Chrissy basically owns the prison, by the way, as well. Like, she is in charge of that place.
She's so glam, but...
Yeah, she's Yvonne Atkins.
Obviously, everyone's online saying, oh, come on, with her hair and her makeup and she's all dolled up. But really, if you think that she is the queen of the jail, let's say, right... That is actually quite believable, because she's going to have whoever hairdressers are doing her hair every day for her. She's going to be able to get makeup off.
And she could do her own hair, because she used to do hairdressing, of course. So she could sort her own hair out.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
In fact,
so it's not
In fact, I was expecting, instead of the whole kettle thing that played out, I thought she was going to go at Sharon with a pair of scissors like she did Kate.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were going to throw that in.
Good, yeah, but well, apparently a kettle's much easier to acquire than a pair of scissors in a jail.
Right? Do they have kettles in prison cells? Is that allowed? It feels like a bad idea.
For this exact reason, you'd think that they wouldn't do it.
I mean, you know, I'd struggle
without
a ready-made
weapon.
Yeah, boiling water. I think that's not a good idea to put in a prison cell somehow. I feel
unless you have to earn it. Maybe Chris has blackmailed them to allow her to have a kennel. Yeah. But then how would we know? We don't know what you're allowed
but it wasn't
in jail
even, yeah,
or not.
It's,
so.
Yeah, because Chrissy is also getting cigarettes brought to her and like smoking them in her cell. So I imagine that there's a level of, I imagine there's a level of influence there that she's sort of managed to accomplish over everybody there. Because she basically is head honcho at that prison. Like she owns everybody. Everybody else is walking around like looking like a dog's dinner. Yeah, like looking rough. And Chrissy sat there glam and smoking a cigarette and basically sipping a martini. Like she is just the queen of the prison. And people owe her debts. So she's managed to get this like woman.
But she's manipulative, Chrissy.
So
it's kind
of believable.
So
you get it. Yeah. Within the context of the story, you sort of get it all. Yeah. So she basically, this woman owes her a debt. So she says, right, well, if you want this debt paid off, you'll sort her out. Because Sharon, you know, they have this conversation. Sharon's sort of like, all right, fair. You know, there's stuff I can see. Thanks to events of my own life, I can sort of see how yours might have played out. So I forgive you. And that really puts Chrissy's nose out of joint. She doesn't want Sharon's forgiveness at all. Especially because she blames Sharon for being in prison in the first place. And she's like, oh, you're patronizing me with your forgiveness, are you, bitch? Right, okay, then let's sort this out. So she gets this mate to basically sort Sharon out, which in prison term means kill, effectively, doesn't it? That's what you mean.
I thought it was just a prison facelift, she said.
Yes, well, it's the same thing, I think.
Hospital wing, not quite kill, I reckon.
No, well, punish Sharon, basically. Punish her very, very badly for everything that's gone wrong in Chrissy's life. And this all sort of culminates in the pair of them, like we said, with the kettle. Because when Chrissy first arrived in prison, Sam was able to establish some contacts in there. And Chrissy had a rough few months in prison when she first arrived, including some scarring on her arm that was done because somebody poured boiling water over her.
Yes.
Which, again, goes to prove that kettles are not a good thing to put in a prison cell.
Right.
You know,
right.
You thought they'd have learned that lesson after the first time it happened, but
yes,
clearly
but
not.
You know how we all need our tea. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, do you want to see, the thing is, I struggle. I think if I had to go to prison, I'd be like, right, I need to do a Chrissy here. I need kettles and I need tea bags. I need the whole lot.
That's what you'd be blackmailing the prison guards for. I would as well, actually.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So there we are. So this argument all culminates and the prison guards burst in at the last moment just before Sharon. Well, at first she looks like she's going to get a Glasgow smile, doesn't she? And then the kettle gets turned on. The prison guards burst in just at the right moment. And Chrissy's taken away to segregation. Now, what we haven't mentioned is the fact that Chrissy's parole hearing. Chrissy is about to get out of prison. The way it's all played out. It's mad that Chrissy leaves prison and Sharon is still in there. I know, right? And this kind of puts Chrissy's parole in a bit of risk because being put in segregation the day before your parole hearing probably isn't your wisest move, really.
Yeah, it's not.
And Sharon kind of quite rightly is about to report everything that happened to the governor.
Governor.
And Chrissy is sort of like, can you not, actually? Didn't really think this through. Can you not report me to the governor? Because that means I have to stay here. I'd quite like to leave. Can you not?
Even Chrissy's pals before she did anything like, come on, Chrissy.
Are you sure about
this?
Released
tomorrow. Like,
yeah, why bother?
Do you want to ever get out of here or what?
Who cares? You've been here 19 years. Like, surely it's time to go, you know?
Yeah.
So, again, they sort of have a heart-to-heart, and then you sort of really sort of start to appreciate, like, Sharon having to confront the fact that Den was not a great person.
Yeah.
And because of everything that sort of played out with Keanu, she's received a level of understanding about it, which I think has finally given her closure about the Chrissy and Den situation.
Yeah, definitely. But
which,
go on. Is it all over, though? Because obviously then, when Chrissy leaves, she's like, oh, we should meet up, Sharon. And Sharon's like, no, we've agreed.
That's
Let's
enough.
Leave
now.
It there.
Yeah, that's not
I'm all
best
right.
Mate.
We've had a week together.
Yeah.
You nearly burnt me with a kettle.
You nearly burnt me with a kettle. I think we're fine
let's part
now.
Ways.
Yeah, I think we're all good now.
Is that the end of Chrissy, though? Because
I think so.
Like,
I think
and
so.
I'm wondering if she's going to come back for the 40th for some big thing.
Feel like there's no reason for her to. I really do. I feel like they've managed. I feel basically they've done, because what we should mention, the last scene of the week, Chrissy is released. She comes out, and the first thing she wants to do is just sort of take one last look at the Vic, where basically her life changed forever, essentially.
I guess, yeah.
And she met Jake, who she gives a call to, and Jake is back on the scene. We see Jake for the first time in years. Yeah, and he's alive because read Jake's backstory.
Well, we thought when he left, he had beef with the Mitchells and Johnny Allen. And as Jake was leaving the square, we all thought it was happy. He was getting a bit of a Julius theme. He went, do-do-do-do.
And that record scrap.
Rewind. It comes face to face with some of Johnny Allen's thugs. And we never quite knew if he got out of that alive or not. So we've had some closure on that as well.
Yeah, Jake's very much alive.
Yeah.
Jake is very much alive and driving around in a red Jaguar. With a beard and drives Chrissy to the Vic just so they can both have one little last look at Walford. There's a brief moment where Alfie and Jake nearly meet again, nearly his second cousin. They nearly cross paths, but they don't quite. And Chrissy and Jake basically just drive off into the sunset together. And that, I feel, is very much the end of Chrissy's story. I don't think there's any...
But why then? So what was she back for a week for then?
Because it'd be nice. Just for the lols. Just for the lols, Yeah, give Sharon that little bit of closure with the Den stuff. I think it was a good character moment for Sharon to sort of finally put that to rest. I think, you know,
I didn't hate the week. I actually quite enjoyed all the jail stuff. But
yeah, it was camp. It was fun.
Just a bit like, why bother then? But okay.
No, I think it's... And also, I think the fact that we've also got to accept this is the run-up to the 40th now. And I think we're going to get quite a lot of this going forward.
Oh, okay, so it's just going to be... Okay, right. Okay,
I think we're going to get... Because we have got more returns on... We have got more returns on the horizon. Some, I think, will be unannounced. Because I think the Jake thing is a very, The Jake thing, I think, is a very good sign. Because... Yeah. I've heard tell that the guy who plays Jake's even quit acting. Like, I don't think he does that much work anymore in terms of acting. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that he's quit acting. So for Clenis to be able to say, come back for this then, go on.
He did a little interview after last night's episode, Thursday night's episode, and he said, you know, they said, do you want to come back for a day? And he said, for just a day of filming. And he said, yeah, go on then. And he... he wasn't expecting to be going back to the square. He thought it was going to be like a scene outside
prison or something. Yeah.
So he said, obviously, it's a new set. It's a new location, isn't it, where it is? And he said, it just felt the exact same, though. But
less creaky.
He said it felt like sharper or something.
Yeah, less creaky. It felt more HD, less creaky.
Yeah.
Less sets fell over less.
Apparently, he couldn't see anyone because obviously it was being kept a secret.
Yeah.
Then they said, right, we need you to test like that you can drive this car okay. And he said it was like the loudest thing. So like, if people didn't know he were back for that scene before, they definitely didn't when he were driving that car out.
So that's fun. And then, talking of returns, we also get some Ruby talk this week. Because it turns out that Ruby and Chrissy shared a cell.
Of course they did. Why not?
To be fair, though, we say that, but I would also like to point out the amount of people that get sent to prison in EastEnders, you would imagine there would be some crossover at some point. So I'm glad that that's actually... You know,
but to share a cell, it would have been more believable. Like, we were here at the same time, but did they just make besties and say, come on, can we flat share while we're here?
God. Why not? Chrissy reveals to Sharon that Ruby went away because she went off to have a baby. And that very much sets the seeds for Martin discovering that he has another child and for a Ruby return further down the road. Very interesting. I still stick with Ruby anniversary being very significant. I think I think Ruby's going to be a massive, massive part of the anniversary. So, watch this space with that. But, you know, Jake returning, I thought was lovely. I really, really enjoyed that. Again, I think it's a really good sign for what's to come for. We've got 5 months now till the anniversary. I think the returns are going to keep coming thick and fast. We know about a few of them. I think there's going to be some unannounced ones. The fact that they're getting away with doing some of these unannounced returns is a very, very good sign and an exciting sign.
Yes.
Let's see what happens. So, gold star this week, Ree, what do you reckon?
I'm going to give mine to Sharon because I think you'll be giving it to...
Who
are you going to give it to?
I don't know. I probably should give it to Chrissy just in terms of the fact. Yeah, screw it. Sharon. I mean, the thing is, I always like to give the gold stars to people that are going to hang around though. So there's like some sort of build up. But I guess. Okay. Yeah, no, Sharon and
Chrissy. Give it to who you want.
You know who I'm going to give it to? You are going to give it to? Dough.
Yeah, dough. That's what dough. I thought when you were pondering, oh, are you going to give it to dough?
Because we're
going to
see dough again, I guarantee it. Dough is wide open for dough. So there we go.
Hey.
Sharon and Dore for the Gold Stars this week. But it was nice to see Chrissy again. It was a big bit of fun. It was a bit of a blast. Enjoyed it. Good week. And we'll find out what you thought about this week in the comment section this week. Before we tackle some comments, we had a rather large bit of news announced this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know that 40th thing that's happening next year, 5 months away from here?
Yeah.
We've had some announcements about what's going to happen for it, and it is very bloody exciting. So it turns out EastEnders is going live for a full episode as part of its celebrations for its 40th anniversary. But this time with a twist, as the audience will have the power to decide the outcome of one storyline. In a first for the soap, the anniversary week will include an interactive element where the viewers will be able to choose their desired outcome of a love story. Whilst those in question currently remain under wraps, their fate will remain firmly in the viewers' hands, and the outcome will play out during the live episode as the cast and crew will be set to adapt the scene to portray whichever result is voted for by the public. I bet the cast were thrilled when they found that out.
It's not too bad, two different outcomes and then just performing whichever one.
Live episode's not bad enough. It's like, oh yeah, that scene. Just use that. Oh God, it would drive me crazy, the stress of that. Chris Clenshaw, executive producer, has said the 40th anniversary is a milestone event for EastEnders, and we have been planning this week for a long time to ensure that it's a week full of drama and surprises. In fact, as our regular audience will know, we have already seen the return of familiar faces and have many more nods to our history to come, which will all build up to our momentous anniversary week. This time, as well as going live, we are adding an extra twist, and for the very first time in the history of the show, and as a gift to the viewers, we are giving the audience the power to have their say in choosing the outcome of one of our storylines. Whilst we're still keeping the finite details of the 40th place to our chest, I can promise that it will be an unmissable week full of shocking twists that will change Albert Square and the lives of those who live in it forever.
Forever.
How bloody exciting.
So a love story. Who's it
going to
be between?
So, I mean, it's really interesting to sort of give this, because let's be fair here, okay? I very much doubt whether the choice is going to be something of huge consequence, because some of the audience are nutters and they'll do something crazy. But I also wonder...
Yeah, but it's just a choice. It's not like the ending.
No, and it's a nice little treat, I think, just to get the audience involved. And it's a genius way of getting the ideas like flowing, getting the audience talking about the show again, mm-hmm. the same way that the Sixth storyline did. You can sort of talk about the outcome that you want. I think it's going to be interesting because you sort of wonder how are you going to demonstrate the fact that this is a choice to the audience? Because one of the key factors of a drama is you making the audience feel things for the characters. So is it going to be that they're going to make it very definitive that, like, the audience will be split about who they want to get with? Or will it be sort of quite obvious, you know? Because if, for example, the Ruby stuff is what this is about, and we're given the choice between Ruby and Martin or Stacey and Martin, I feel like Stacey and Martin would win all day long because the audience absolutely adores Stacey and Martin together. So I wonder how much choice is actually going to be. Like, are they going to make it a clear, like, some of you like this, some of you like this? Is it going to be that sort of thing, or how's it going to work, I wonder?
Well, my first thought was it's going to be about should Kat and Alfie get back together, or Kat and Phil maybe. I don't know why that's in my head.
Maybe.
Or Sharon and Phil and Kat and Phil. But then I was thinking, what about Denise and Jack? Because obviously they didn't finalise their divorce. Is it going to be about them? Because we're seeing that kind of... But then...
Cindy?
Also, I was thinking that maybe Ronnie and Roxy will somehow come back, and it'll be about whether Ronnie should get back with Jack or Denise.
Yes.
And obviously we'll say Ronnie. And it doesn't matter because they faked their own death and it's fine, and they're back for the 40th forever.
Yes, yes.
Forever, right?
Yes, yes, yes. We can pray. We can pray. But how bloody exciting. I've got to say, I didn't think we'd get another live episode. I really didn't, because, you know, as much as we love the soap genre isn't as cataclysmically important to television as it used to be. So, and I imagine live episodes cost a hell of a lot of money. So I was I was doubtful whether they'd be able to do a live episode again, but they totally are. So that is so exciting. And live episodes are great, aren't they? Because that means that we have to watch it live. So anything could happen. Oh, I'm really, really, really excited.
It's a bit
about
like
this.
What they did for Christmas Day for us last year by showing it later so that you all had to watch it together.
Yeah.
There's no spoilers going to happen either.
Yeah.
If you've not had a chance to watch it at 6 a.m. and someone's uploaded it on TikTok or whatever.
I can't wait. I'm really, really excited. But we still don't really know what the sport is going to be about, though, do we? Because I feel like the six storyline is going to be well done and dusted by that time that comes along.
Yeah.
So the Cindy stuff, I think it's going to be at Christmas. Maybe Nish. Maybe that might be a big part of it.
I was just wondering that, but isn't he going to be dead by then?
You'd think. I think we've got a very busy few months coming our way. It's very, very exciting. So let's have some comments.
Got a comment from This Is Jerty. Loved seeing Tracy Ann Oberman back for a stint on EastEnders. I think some of the scenes with her and Sharon must have been confusing to younger viewers that don't know the Den Watts history, but I really enjoyed it. Love Dore. Hope she becomes a resident on the square.
Yes, Joe. Quite right. Yes, yes. Doors wide open for Joe. I did wonder this week, like, how much the audience would be able, like, a younger audience might be able to sort of know exactly who Chrissy is, especially Jake. I feel like there might have been some viewers that sort of, like, when Jake appeared, like, who the hell's that? But I think they gave you a good history lesson throughout the week as to what the storyline was. We got plenty explained to us about Jake, I think, by the time he actually turned up. So I thought that, you know, they covered it all quite well. And it was sort of double Lauren Clee at the start of the week. And we know Lauren Clee is very, very good. So, yeah, I think it was covered quite well. I think you wouldn't have been in any doubt about the Chrissy stuff and who they all were. And finally, Chad Elliott Price has said the video from Lola for Janet's birthday was some serious forward thinking. I did like that moment. So obviously Janet was 18 this week. Janet's 18. I'm going to say Grace has played Janet since birth. That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
It's more 18. Crazy because I very 18. Vividly remember Honey Bee.
Yeah, so do I. It's quite,
Janet's quite now 18.
It's quite depressing, isn't it, really? We are really, really, really old, Ree. That's the problem with that.
You're older than me, so you're really, really
got
old.
Got your face up, please. But yes, the Lola video was a nice touch. I have to wonder how many of these has Danielle Harold done?
Loads. Absolutely loads. I reckon so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be one for every one of Lexi's birthdays till she's 21, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then Janet's probably going to go have one on her 21st.
Will might have
one on his 18th.
Yeah,
and
whenever Lexi gets married, she's going to have one there. So it's going to be a whole video library. Danielle Harrell's going to be raking it in from EastEnders for many years to come, and she's not even on there at the show anymore.
Fair play to her. Good gig
if you can get it. Right then, ladies and gents, that's it for this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us via any of the following means, you can.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Yes, you can indeed. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. We should be back same time next week, and we cannot wait to see you. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.